Oh, let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above. We're giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day.
Fill my way every day with love.
Amen. Is that your desire tonight?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. I want to announce once again, Lord willing, we'll be having our men's meeting for the brothers here tonight, tomorrow night rather, Thursday the 16th at 7:30. So that's tomorrow night. If you brothers want to come, we'll be meeting in the basement and having just a little bit of fellowship and study around the Word together. Also, Brother Wes Willis will be preaching for us Sunday, March 26th, that morning and evening. And then the following Friday, we'll be having a youth service, and that'll be Friday the 31st of March at 7:30 in the evening. And anybody's welcome to come, but it'll be focused towards the youth. We've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord tonight. Sister Cheryl Cody, she's not feeling well tonight. I want to remember her in prayer. Also, Sister Anna Pierce requests prayer for Brother Richard Tungate, problems with his back and lungs. So I want to remember him in prayer. And then also Chloe Stutzman, she's sick tonight. I want to remember her in prayer. And also Ethan Stutzman has an infection in his foot, so I want to remember him. And then Sister Patty Ard, she's not feeling well this evening. And also Sister April Stutzman's Aunt Joyce is in the hospital. I want to remember her in prayer. And I want to just continue to remember Brother Trevor in prayer. He'll be leaving tomorrow, traveling to England, Finland, and Norway from the 16th of this month through the 6th of next month for services. So I want to remember him in prayer. And then also Brother Jeff from Ghana that was here a few months ago, and he prayed over some of the requests. And and we'd had some fellowship together with him. He had contacted Brother Trevor today and said his youngest son didn't return home from school today, so they're very concerned about that and have notices out on the radio and different things there trying to raise attention to try to find him. So I want to remember that situation in prayer, especially tonight. I don't know if it was my child, I'd want somebody praying for that situation. So how many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. The Lord sees each one. Brother Hoover, would you just come tonight and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we just come to you tonight. Lord, we've come for a purpose this evening. We've come to let you know that we love you, Lord. To appreciate the love that you have for us, Lord. The world celebrated yesterday, Lord, but God, we're glad that you show your love to us every day, Lord. You just don't choose one day a year, but Lord, you show it every morning. Your mercies are new and your love, Lord Jesus, is just as strong as it was the day before. We appreciate that. Lord, we thank you for watching over us and guiding us, and Lord, for the desire to come together with members of the bride tonight, Lord. Heavenly Father, we're just under expectation. We believe, Lord, that you're going to meet us here and that you're going to meet the needs of each and every heart that's here. Lord, you said in your word that you wanted to do abundantly above what we could even think or ask. Lord, we have it on our heart. We have it in our soul, Lord Jesus, that you're going to do great things. So we know you'll do even above, Lord, what we have in our heart. We look forward to it tonight, Lord, to hear your word as you speak to us. And we bring these requests, Lord, that are laid here. Lord, these folks have written in, called in, Lord, and there's burdens, Lord. First thing, Lord, about this young man in Ghana. Lord, dear Jesus, my thought just went to, Lord, if it had been my child or my grandchild, Lord. Heavenly Father, you know exactly where this young man is. Lord, you can go to him. I know that your angels can stand guard round about him until his father finds him and he's safely back home. Just believe that, Lord. Lord, the love that we have for our children, how much greater it is for that you have for us. Lord, these that are sick, the Tongue Gate, Lord, and the other ones that the requests have come in for, Sister Cody, Lord, and each and every one, Lord, I don't remember them all, but Lord, before we even ask, Lord, it was already on your heart to do for them and to bless and to answer that prayer request, Lord. So we just thank you. We thank you in advance, Lord, for the great work that you're going to do in these lives. Lord, when the report comes in and the testimony comes in of how you took care of it, Lord, we'll be careful to give you praise and glory. It's not something that we can pat ourselves on the back or say, look what we did, but Lord, we'll just have to say, to God be the glory. He does all things well. We just ask now that you would take the remainder of this service, Lord, each song that is sung, each word that is spoken. May you settle it down in our hearts, Lord, and give us strength for the journey, for the days ahead. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
He wasn't looking at me, oh, when he took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart that was black with sin. Oh, he was looking at the blood flowing rich and green. That precious blood that covers me. He wasn't looking at me.
136 in your hymn book.
Well, they were in an upper chamber. Well, they were all with one accord when the Holy Ghost descended, as
to come on the scene and send the power, especially in that situation that just tugged on my heart, that boy being lost. And let's sing that again as Brother Nathan comes. Let's sing that last verse where we know that we can have it too. Amen.
Yes, this old time power was given to our fathers who were true. Oh, this is promised to believers, and we all may have it too.
Stand and sing it together. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Baptize everyone.
Amen. Is that your desire tonight?
Yes.
Amen.
Well, I started out traveling for the Lord many years. Since then I've had a lot of heartache, had a lot of grief and woe. But when I would stumble, then I would humble down. Then and there I would say, wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow, even though the devil tempts me. Tries to turn me around. Oh, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I want. Worldly fame, if I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, there's nothing in the world that'll ever take the place of God's love. All your silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. Oh, when my soul needs healing, I begin to feel His power. Then and there I would say, wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow, even though the devil tempts me. He's tried to turn me around. Oh yes, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I want, and worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh no, there's nothing in the world that'll ever take the place of God's love.
All the silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. When my soul needs healing, I begin to feel His power. Then and there I would say, wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow, even though the devil tests me, tries to turn me around. Oh, He's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want and some worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Let's sing it this way tonight. Well, I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. Since then I've had a lot of heartache, had a lot of grief and woe. But when I would stumble, then I would humble down. Then and there I would say, wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow, even though the devil tempts me, he's tried to turn me around. Oh, He's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want and some worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing. Oh, let's sing it one more time together. Oh no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow, though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I'd want, some worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Amen. Is that your testimony tonight?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you richly. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to St. Luke's Gospel. St. Luke chapter 1, and want to begin with verse 30, and this is typically a Christmas text, but it's not quite Christmas, but Brother Branham said that Christ was born in the spring of the year, so we're almost there. St. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, and the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." Amen. Let's just bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've been taught, Lord, and in studying the scriptures, this angelic visit, Lord, speaking the word of this great name of Jesus for the very first time, Lord. But even though it had been spoken by angelic lips, Lord, what was produced the first time it was spoke by human lips was even greater, Father, to recognize that it brought life into a dead womb, Father. And Lord, that just the speaking of your name, Lord, if it could resurrect a dead child in a woman's womb, the very first name it was spoken, Lord, before your blood had been shed, before there had been, Lord, any salvation, Lord, in the way that your blood would bring of dying on the cross for us and sending back the Holy Ghost to empower us, Lord. Oh, what should that name do tonight, Father, when it's placed upon the lips of your believers, Lord? We still believe tonight that there's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We love you tonight, Father. We just ask that you'd come on the scene for us tonight, Lord. And Lord, no doubt there's many needs. Maybe there's questions on people's hearts. Maybe there's urgent situations, Father, decisions that they're facing. Lord, I just ask that tonight through the speaking of the word and through the reading of the quotes and the scriptures, Lord, may you just minister to hearts, Lord, and just, Lord, give a peace that only you can give, Lord, in times of decision and times of distress and in times of worry. Lord, may you just come and bring peace to your people tonight, we pray.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. This text that we looked at tonight
as I said, might look like the beginning of a Christmas message, but we want to continue on with this thought that we've been on for several months on our Wednesday night service on Speak the Word. And we start off looking at God in the beginning when He created the heavens and the earth with the spoken word, and then how that moved down into Adam. Brother Bram said he was an amateur creator, and he could speak, and he could still the winds, and he could speak and calm the animals and things like that. And then we looked at Abraham speaking and God providing a ram for him, and we looked at Moses and the power of creation there in the plagues and different things through his ministry. And then we begin to look at Elijah and Elisha, and now I want to pick up and begin to look at the life of Jesus when he was here in a flesh body on earth. And with this greeting that the angel had sent to Mary, and he comes and he gives her this salutation, and the Bible said she was troubled in her heart, not knowing how these things would be. But I want us to just notice tonight, before we move on a little further, that he tells her to fear not because she had found favor with God. Now, what a thing that it is to be in a place, in a condition where we found favor with God, but yet Mary hadn't really done anything to inherit this or to deserve this. She was just a normal girl going about her business, just another of thousands of Hebrew young women that was in that day. No doubt if you had looked at her and seen her, she would have just looked like the average girl. Brother Bram said she was about 17 or 18 years old, and you would have just looked at her and thought, well, she's just your average, you know, Hebrew maiden going about, you know, and going to the temple and going to get water, and maybe she had this relationship that she had started with Joseph, and she was engaged to be married to him, and no doubt if you would have looked at her and you'd have been sitting in a church service with her, she would look maybe just like anybody else to you. But God looked at her and said she'd found favor in his sight. Amen. And so what a thing it is that, you know, maybe sometimes we didn't have any better works than anybody else. Maybe we didn't have any better efforts or anything better that we could show of our own good that we could come and bring before the Lord and say, well, look, I did this so much better than this brother or that sister or whatever it would be. But it's not so much that. It's that when God looked down through time and he called your name and you had favor with him, there wasn't anything we could do to inherit it. There wasn't enough works that we could do to deserve it. But God looked down and found favor. Oh, what a thing it is to be had favor in God's eyes. And how undeserving we are to think that he would find favor in us. And Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, I know many of you that came out of denominations and different churches and things were taught that, you know, there was God the Father sitting up in heaven, and then the Holy Ghost was just a spirit that floated around, and it was kind of like a mascot boy, and then Jesus was the child sitting there on the Father's lap, and all these different things and pictures that they painted for us. But if the Holy Ghost was his father, but yet we believe that God was his father, if we try to separate those and make those two separate things, then we have a great problem with this scripture here in Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 when it says that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now we find, and we'll look at it a little bit later in the service, maybe with the help of the Lord, that when the pillar of fire came down on the road to Damascus there with St. Paul and struck him down, it was so tangible to him that it literally put out his eyes, and yet there were other men standing there that didn't even see it and said, we don't. When he went to give his testimony, they said, well, we didn't see any light. But yet it was so real to him that it put out his eyes. Now we believe that that was the Holy Ghost, the Logos form that came, but yet when he begins to speak and he says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He says, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. So if the pillar of fire is the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost was the one that came down and Mary was found with child, but yet we believe God was his father, but yet Jesus spoke out of the pillar of fire and said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. We begin to see a little glimpse of the picture.
All right.
Matthew chapter 1 verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Amen.
So this child that would be brought forth and spoken by the spoken word placed into the womb of Mary, and here the child begins to grow and is born, and he says his name will be Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now I want to look at some scriptures over the next little bit just to find out who this really was that came to us. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you may not have time to turn back and forth to these, or you can try to, but if you want to just write them down and look at them later, that's fine as well. Or I'll have the sermon notes up on the website if you want to go back and look at it that way. But all the scriptures and quotes and different references. But Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us, as most of us can quote by heart, even to the school children, is in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we've been talking about the spoken Word and the power behind the spoken Word. Now, John says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. So we find out that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now, a little bit further in verse 18, John says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, Jesus goes on to say in John chapter 4, verse 24, when he's talking to the woman at the well, he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we can look at this and see that God being a spirit, no man could see spirit, but yet you in yourself, Brother Branham said, nobody's ever really seen the real you. He said, maybe you say, well, I've seen William Branham. He said, no, what you saw was this outward shell, which was just the flesh. He said, but inside of that, I have a spirit, and inside of that, he had a soul, and that soul being down in the control tower, and yet we had never really seen the real him. We had just seen the exterior shell of the flesh. So we as a human being were a triune being of body, soul, and spirit, and God was a triune being of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No man had seen God at any time. No man had seen the Father because he was a spirit. He wasn't tangible. In the beginning, there was God alone with his thoughts. There was no way that you could see him, no way that you could touch him, no way that you could discern him. But yet from that, there went the Logos, which is the pillar of fire, which we've seen in the picture, and which visited Moses in a burning bush and visited St. Paul on the road to Damascus. And, you know, we don't have pictures of those, but yet people believe that. But then you can show them a picture when the same pillar of fire visited in our age, and people have a problem with that. But it's been more scientifically proven in this age that God is with us than any other age, but yet it still goes right over the heads of the people as it did in every age. And we find that this Logos, when it went out before God, it wasn't that it was a separate person or that it was a separate being, but it was something tangible that we could see God with. God could speak to Moses out of the pillar of fire, and he could recognize visibly, he could see that portion of God or that mask that he would have. And as Brother Bram teaches us in the unveiling of God, how that he would change his mask as he went down, and one time he walked in the Garden of Eden and they saw him in a theophany body, and then another time he came and he sat there and ate of the calf and drank of the milk there with Abraham. There he was changing his mask again. One time Moses said, let me see your glory, Lord, and he walked before him. He said, look like the backside of the man. One time Ezekiel saw him and he said, look like a wheel in the middle of a wheel. One time Daniel saw him and said, look like a stone that was cut out of a mountain. And all my on and on different ways that people saw him and beheld him, but it was all God changing his mask. And you can have, they call him the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. We call him Jehovah. We call him God. We call him Elohim. There's many different names, but there's only one name that he recognizes as his name, and that's the name of Jesus. The Bible said there's only one name under heaven by which any man could be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. Now, why wasn't it the name of Jehovah, or why wasn't it Elohim, or any of these other names? They're all wonderful names. They're all representative names of God, but those are just titles. But his actual name is Jesus. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So God, the invisible, eternal, untangible God, was back there in his thoughts as a spirit, but then from untangible he became tangible, where we could see him in a pillar of fire form, and then from that form he came down and was made manifest in the flesh. And John says there in John chapter 1, it said, we beheld him, we touched him, we handled him with our hands, the word of life that was made manifest in that day. What was it? It was God condescending down so he could come down on the level of humanity so that he can understand what we were going through and relate to us as humans. Brother Branham said it this way. We'll read the quote maybe a little later this evening. He said, God changed his cast. Amen. Oh, my. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, the Bible said just a moment ago, we read it in St. John, and St. John's gospel talks probably more about the deity of Jesus Christ than any other, definitely of any of the other gospels, but possibly more than any other book in the Bible. It's constantly referring to his deity. Also, the book of Revelations, if you want to go and look at that, it's constantly referring to the different forms of his deity and the different, Brother Bram called it the seven different manifold purpose of his being. And so we find out that in John chapter 14 verse 8 that Philip says unto him, and here he is in a flesh body standing there, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now, he's still got this Trinitarian view of here's Jesus the Son, and they had recognized by revelation, they'd stood up there, and he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, well, you're Christ, the Messiah. Some say that you're this, and some say that you're that. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter stood up, and he said, you're Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed it unto you. And he said, upon this revelation, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. So they had recognized him in son form. They had recognized him in this attribute. But now Philip says, but can you show us the Father? If you're the Son, could you show us the Father? And it would satisfy us. And Jesus said unto him in verse 9, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He says just a little bit before that in St. John chapter 10 and verse 30, he said, I and my Father are one. The lady said there to Brother Branham, she was trying to explain to him the difference. And she said, oh, but you and your wife are one. He said, but not that kind of one. He said, if you see my wife, do you see me? And she said, well, no. And he said, well, Jesus said, when you saw him, you saw the Father. So here, God in spirit form, we couldn't see him. No man had seen him at any time. But yet he steps down into a human body. And the Bible said, we'll read it here in a little bit, said that in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So all that spirit that there was of God, he poured out into Christ. And there Christ stood, and the spirit of God that no man had ever seen was veiled behind human flesh. And we can say amen, and that's wonderful, but many of them don't take it a step further. Brother Branham said, all that God was, he poured out into Christ. But then he said, all that Christ was, he poured out into the church.
Amen.
Oh, my. St. John chapter 1, verse 10 said, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now, wait a minute. We just read in Genesis chapter 1 that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And we just read again in St. John chapter 1 that the Word in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was the heavens and earth was created by that Word. But yet now it's saying that he, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15, speaking of Jesus, it's Paul speaking. He says, who is the image of the invisible God?
Amen.
You are the image. David Hoover is the image of the invisible soul of David Hoover. You've never seen David Hoover's soul. You've never seen his spirit. But the body of David Hoover is the image of that soul or spirit that dwells within him. Arnie Bird is the image of that eternal soul that dwells down on the inside of him. Now, you might have seen that exterior shell, and maybe you've known him for years. Maybe you've known these brothers for years, and you've seen their hair get lighter and things like that. But that's still that outward representation of an inward eternal being. And you'll never see that soul or spirit because it's invisible, but yet you see them and you recognize them, and when you spend eternity with them, you'll see them in a theophany body that's still housing that soul that's down on the inside of it. But yet Jesus was standing there, and that exterior shell of flesh was housing the image of the invisible God. He was the invisible God was dwelling inside of him. He was the representation of God here on earth. Amen. And when you saw him, you saw the Father. Amen. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. I thought God created the heavens and the earth. Paul, are you contradicting Moses? Moses, are you contradicting Paul? Not if we have a revelation.
Amen.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now verse 9 of Colossians chapter 2, Colossians 2 and verse 9, says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Right. Now if you look at me tonight, and I could say, in me dwelleth all the spirit of Nathan Bryant bodily. There can't be another Nathan Bryant floating around out here somewhere that's separate from me if all of me dwells inside of me. But the Bible said all the fullness of God dwelt in him. So if you have him and then another God somewhere else, then you're worshiping a pagan religion of idolatry that's a multiple God ordeal. But remember the very first thing that Moses told the children of Israel. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Paul says again, he said, there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. People say, oh, it don't matter how you get baptized. It apparently mattered to Paul. He said there was only one. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says that he was the express image of his person. So we find that the deity of Jesus Christ was veiled behind the humanity of Jesus Christ. I want to say that again so that it'll register real good tonight. The deity of Jesus Christ was veiled behind the humanity of Jesus Christ. That's why it was so hard for them to accept it. They could see a man that could get tired and sit down on the edge of a boat and sleep. And they could see a man that could get a headache. And they could see a man that could weep. And they could see a man that could, oh my, he could get upset. And he could cast out the money changers and tear apart their tables. And they were looking at the humanity of Jesus, and they failed to recognize the deity of Jesus.
Right.
Then there were others that went out in the Jesus-only movement, and they said Jesus was his own father, and that it was one like your finger like this, and they couldn't recognize the humanity of Jesus. The Jehovah Witness, they can't figure it out, you know, how that he could be deity and human at the same time. But, oh my, I want you to recognize tonight that you may not be the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but there's a little bit of deity if you've got the Holy Ghost. There's a little bit of deity that's veiled behind your humanity too. And that's why sometimes, you know, it's hard for us because, you know, a brother will get up and do something or say something and we just don't understand it. And we look at his humanity and we look and we see, oh my, but I knew him when he was this or that. You know, I remember when Brother Furman was just a schoolboy and he did this and he did that. And now, you know, he gets up and leads us in songs. And my, I don't understand why he would sing this song when I wanted him to sing that song. And we, you're looking at the humanity, but you don't recognize that there's a little bit of deity hidden behind there, that maybe God led him to that for a purpose, and maybe there's somebody else across the other side of the aisle that's saying, oh my, you just don't know how much I needed to hear that song tonight. And many times if we're not careful, we begin to look at the humanity and, oh my, I wish Brother Nathan would have this brother preach more, and oh my, I wish Brother Nathan would have this brother preach less, and oh my, this one and that one, and I like this gift and I don't like that gift. And if we're not careful, we begin to look at the humanity instead of looking at the deity that's veiled behind the humanity. I hope tonight that you never lift up the humanity of Nathan Bryant, but when God comes down and the Holy Spirit begins to do something, I hope we can lift up the deity that's behind David Hoover or Arnie Bird or Bill Layton or Furman Stutzman or whoever it would be. And when we see God coming and moving in a mighty way, we can thank God that deity led that humanity. The unveiling of God in 1964, he said, God, all the fullness, all the Godhead bodily was in this person, Jesus Christ. He was God and God alone, not a third person or a second person or a first person, but the person, God veiled in human flesh. Oh my, we have such a hard time with that sometimes, recognizing God veiled in human flesh. Brother Bam said that was the hardest thing that God had asked, had ever had any man do, was to get one man to believe another one. It's such a hard thing because we get all tripped up by that human veil that's standing there. And you know, then there's others that go out to the extreme. And, you know, they're those that absolutely take and worship Brother Branham and try to make him Jesus. But it wasn't that he was Jesus, not the flesh body, but it was that Jesus was working through human instrumentality again. Just as he did through Moses, just as he did through Abraham, just as he did through all the prophets down through the ages. It wasn't that they were deity. It wasn't that they were literally Jesus Christ or literally God, but it was that God was veiled behind that humanity. A portion of God was working through that humanity. And we can look at it and oh my, he said this ministry of the last age, he said that Jesus, the Son of Man ministry would be so close to the same. He said to where it was the same in every aspect except the physical body. Amen. That the ministries would be so close. Right. William Branham didn't die to save me. William Branham isn't my savior. He didn't die for me so I could be healed or so that I could be saved. I don't pray in his name. I don't get down and worship him. I don't have a shrine to him in my home. But I believe that God was working through that man just again the same in this age as he did when he was on the shores of Galilee. He was anointed in the same way, yet it was a different vessel. It wasn't the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but it was the same Son of Man ministry coming down and working. And they couldn't recognize because all they saw was the flesh of a Kentuckian standing there. Right. It's the same with you. When you go into Walmart, if people knew that they were speaking to a portion of deity, they would treat you a little nicer. Right. And they would be a little bit more respectful and a little more hesitant to make fun of the way you dress and the way you wear their hair. They recognized that there was a portion of deity dwelling down on the side of you. Does that make me or you or anybody else Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. But it's still veiling deity within human flesh. And we have such a hard time separating that. Because people have always had a hard time separating it. Recognizing the human part and the deity part. But with Jesus, it wasn't just a portion as it was with Brother Branham or as it was with Moses or with you or I or any other born again person. Brother Branham said that they had the Holy Ghost in type back there. He said Adam had the Holy Ghost in type. David had the Holy Ghost in type. You don't believe it? Well, David said, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Yet it would be hundreds of years before the Holy Spirit really came in the way that we recognize it today. But yet they were still anointed by the same Holy Ghost, and they had it in type, where now it's an indwelling Holy Ghost, not just an anointing to anoint us on the outside to do something, but an abiding presence that comes down and lives in us and dwells in us. But Jesus wasn't that way, to where it was a portion of deity like Brother Branham had, or Moses had, or you have if you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You have a portion of deity in you. That's what he did on the day of Pentecost. He separated himself, God separating and dividing himself and coming back in the form of the Holy Ghost and tongues of fire setting down on each one of them, to where he could come and live inside of your heart. You have a portion of it, but Jesus had the fullness. He says, let me read it again. God, all the fullness, all the Godhead bodily was in this person, Jesus Christ. He was God and God alone, not a third person or a second person or a first person, but the person, God veiled in human flesh. Amen. Show us the Father and it will satisfy us. So 1960, he says, God is a spirit. He had no hands till he became Jesus. He had no feet, arms, legs, and so forth till he became Jesus. He manifested. No man has seen the Father at any time, but the only begotten has declared him. He, God, dwelt in the body of Christ. It ought to be striking. It ought to make man wonder. He could have come down from heaven, right down the corridors of heaven, with the angel, full angel salute if he wanted to. He could have been born a full matured man. He could have come down with all the pomp and glory of heaven, but he didn't choose that. He come to a stable, born over a manure pile, and little Jehovah crying in a manger. Right. Little Jehovah playing as a boy. Little Jehovah toiling as a man. He crossed his caste with us. God become human. He says it this way in the Church Age book, page 138. He said, Jehovah working in a carpenter's shop. Jehovah washing the feet of fishermen. And to where Peter would even go and he would say, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. Right. He couldn't accept that this man who he recognized by revelation to be the Son of God, whom he recognized what he was and where he came from. And even though he didn't see the full plan of redemption yet, because he hadn't received the Holy Ghost and Christ hadn't died and been buried and resurrected again, he couldn't maybe understand everything that was going to take place. Yet he recognizes the position that Jesus Christ has. Brother Branham asked that Jewish priest one time. He said, let me ask you this question. The Jewish priest said, you can't divide God into three and give him to a Jew. And he said, I'm not trying to. He said, let me ask you this question to the Jewish priest. He said, what relation would Messiah be to God? And he said, he would be God. He said, that's exactly right. Yet this body, the flesh body that was here on earth, Brother Bram said it was a predestinated creature of time. And that the flesh that was on Jesus, it was laying in the dust when he said, let there be. Can you imagine God in the beginning? He says, let there be light and let there be earth and let there be heavens and stars and sun and moon and all these different things. And he creates the very dust that he'll take and form Adam out of, and the very dust that you would be laying in, that he would call one day, and you would come through your great-great-grandfather on down through the line and to your grandfather and your father, and then he would be produced in a body here on earth. And those dust and chemicals that are in your body now were laying back there hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years ago. And God says, let there be. And he speaks, and his own body is laying there in that dust. The very body that he would veil himself in, the very body that he would robe himself in when he was here on earth, was laying right there in the dust. That's what Brother Branham taught us. That's what the scripture teaches us. Amen. And here, this body that was born, it comes down and he's veiled in this way. And Peter looks and he says, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. I'll never let you get down and wash my dirty feet. I'm a stinking fisherman, and I know what type of life I've lived. And we can read about him in the scriptures, how he would get mad and he would cuss, and how he fished naked, and all these different things that he went through, and his ups and his downs and his humanity. And Peter could look at his own humanity and say, "You'll never wash my feet." Don't criticize Peter. You would have said the same thing if you were standing there.
Right.
And he said, "Peter, if I don't wash you, I have no part. You have no part with me." He said, "Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head too." He wanted to make sure that he had a part with him. And Jehovah, Brother Branham said, he changed his cast. And here he was, the creator of heavens and earth. Here he was dwelling, deity, the fullness of the Godhead in spirit form, out there in the heavens, eternal. No man could see him. No man could touch him. No man could look at him. And he changes his cast.
Amen.
And he comes down and is born in a little manger,
right,
as a little baby. And there's Jehovah crying in a manger.
Yes.
Yet not the fullness of the Godhead bodily yet, till he went up and was baptized on the River Jordan. And then the Spirit came descending on him like a dove. But yet it was still this temple that God had created. It was still this creation that he had made, that it didn't come like you and I did. It didn't come through sex desire. It didn't come through perversion or through the fall of Adam. But it came in an immaculate way. And he comes and he's there and he's sinless. But yet he could be tempted. And he came that way so that he could be the right kind of Savior. Because God as a spirit couldn't be tempted. He couldn't get hungry. He couldn't get tired. He couldn't get weary. He couldn't get discouraged. He couldn't get sick. He couldn't stump his toe on a piece of furniture. And he changes his mask and he comes down to become human. And he would grow up as a little child. And my little boy Nathaniel, he lost two teeth this week. One the dentist took from him and one I took from him. But Jesus would be there as a little toothless baby lying in a manger. And he would feel the pain as those teeth would begin to come in like a little baby. And he would feel what that was like. So that when your little baby was laying there screaming and crying and those teeth pushing through those gums, he could be the right kind of intercessor for that little baby. And he would come and feel what it was like, maybe to break it. Well, none of his bones were broken, so. But he knew what the pain was like. He felt pain. He knew what it was like to have a tooth pulled. He knew what it was like to maybe be working in the carpenter shop and get a big old splinter in his hand. And he knew the pains. He knew what it was like as a little boy to have all the little girls run around and giggle and laugh and you know, how little kids do. And he knew what it was like to look and see and look down and see all the other children playing. And maybe he felt isolated. Maybe they made fun of him because he was different. Maybe he wasn't very popular in school because he didn't do all the other things the other kids did. And he went through that so that he could know what you felt like when you went to school and you were different because you had long hair or skirts, some of you sisters, or because some of you boys wouldn't take a smoke of a cigarette or look at some pornography or say some of the words that the other boys were saying in school, even though they said, "Well, everybody's doing it," and tried to peer pressure you. But yet he knew what it felt like to be peer pressured. Yet sinless, yet he didn't fall, but he knew what that pressure would be like. As a teenager, he knew what it was like to stand there and feel all torn apart. And here he was growing into a man. And you know, he could stand there sinless, but yet just as human as we are. Feel the same emotions. Feel cold in the winter. Feel hot in the summer. To go out there and work with his earthly father in a carpenter shop and toil and labor. Brother Branham said he toiled as a man. He could go through all these different things. He could face all these different trials growing up and maybe getting made fun of and maybe getting talked about, maybe getting scorned. He could feel all these different emotions that we go through. He didn't have to do that. But he loved us so much that to be the right kind of intercessor for you and I, he went through those things. And he was tempted in those ways and tried in those ways and felt those pains that he would have never had to feel because he loved us so much that when we were going through that, he wanted to know how he could come and comfort us during that time.
Amen.
You know, as Christians, there's things that people go through that You know, we try to recognize what that would be like. Maybe some of you parents look at somebody that they lost a child at a young age, and your children are grown and of a full age. You don't really know what that's like, but yet we try to sympathize with them as much as we can. The grief that they would go through, we try to put them in our place. What would it be like if that was my child? Just like this brother that his little boy is lost in Africa, unless they found him by now, which we believe the Holy Spirit is on the scene. We try to sympathize. What would that be like? They're not at a Walmart where they can shut the thing down and not let anybody in or out until the boy's found. And they're not in the United States where they have an Amber Alert and they could put it out. They're over in the backwoods of Africa, huts and places where, it'll take God maybe to find the child. But yet we try to put our place in that position. What would it be like to go through that? And maybe some of you that are married and your spouse has lived a good, healthy life with you, and maybe others that lost their spouse at a young age. We try to imagine what that would be like, and we try to sympathize with them and put ourselves in their place, but we can't really truly fully know what some of these things are like until we go through it and experience it for ourselves. So we're just sympathizing with the person, but we can't really fully relate to it. But he came and went through all these different things so that he could relate. Here, Abraham went up the side of the hill and he said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. And he didn't make Abraham go all the way through it, but he went through it so that he could know what it was felt like. He didn't ask me to give my life to save Brother Darrell or to save Brother Randy, but he went through it for us. Here he was as a young man. Brother Bram says, and show us the Father and it'll satisfy us in 1960. He said, when Jesus was born, God was human on the earth, manifesting God, what he was. He toiled and labored and felt for the teenager. He went through every temptation that we go through. So some of you young people that's maybe going through things, maybe there's situations in your school, maybe there's situations in your family, maybe there's situations with some of your friends, and maybe you're trying to figure it out and you don't know what to do, and you don't maybe have the authority even to do some of the things that you feel to do, and you're all torn apart, and you've got peer pressures and you've got temptations and you've got people making fun of you and saying all kinds of different things about your beliefs and things like that. Maybe you feel like you're completely alone and you don't know how to even express it, maybe to explain it to me or to your parents, even though maybe you would try, and I hope you do try. But maybe you just don't know how to express it. And maybe even if you did, maybe there's certain things that we haven't gone through and we couldn't relate to exactly. But there's someone that can. Amen. And he went through that so that he could be the right kind of mediator and the right kind of comforter for you. He became a teenager so that he could sympathize with what you're going through. He became a child so that he could sympathize with what some of us went through as children. He became a man so that he could sympathize with you brothers, and he could look around and feel the emotions and see the things that are taking place and that are going on. He did that so that he could be the right kind of comforter when we were in those times.
Amen.
What it ought to do to us tonight. I was thinking about it yesterday. I never really thought of it this way, but young people and things, they say, right now, with all the bullying going on in school and internet bullying and all these different things that goes on, they say that the number one death in children from 13 to 19 is suicide, the number one cause of death. How sad is that? That Satan would try to put so much pressure on these young people that they would try to take their own lives. But he was tempted with suicide. Satan took him up to the pinnacle of the temple one time and said, why don't you throw yourself down? The angels won't let you dash one of your feet upon the stones. He said, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But he went through that, and he was tempted with that, so that somebody else going through that same type of spirit coming and tempting them, oh, it's not worth it. Why don't you just end it all? Nobody cares for you. Nobody loves you. Don't you recognize who that is talking when that comes to you? God will never tell you that. Your parents will never tell you that if there's anything to them at all. But it's Satan trying to steal your life and trying to take it away. But yet he was tempted in that way too. But yet he overcome the temptation. Luke chapter 2 verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days As they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. There was a family a while back, drove off and left their little boy here. I told him, I said, don't worry. They came back in about 30 minutes. I said, Jesus' parents left him for 3 days one time, so. Luke chapter 2, verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Now, if Joseph was his father, then why wasn't he, you know, sanding some wood? Or why wasn't he putting together some tables? But there he is in the temple, and he's speaking on the word with these priests and doctors in the temple, lawyers that had studied the law their entire life, the law of Moses. And these men were astonished at his understanding and at his answers. Can you imagine being a man maybe 70, 80 years old, and you've studied the law your entire life, and this little 12-year-old boy comes by and has more revelation than you do? No wonder they couldn't accept and get past the humanity of this little 12-year-old boy. They couldn't accept that that was God. But here he was, and all these men who had studied the word their entire life and knew it in and out and all the different sayings and quotes, and they could quote it and they knew how to talk about it and argue about it and all these different things that they could do in their own intellectual knowledge. And here the word is made flesh in front of them and walks right into their midst, and they failed to recognize it. Oh, my. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, that'll just blow your mind if you think about it too long. Try to put that together with everything else that we had. But here he is, a 12-year-old boy, and he's growing in stature, and he's growing in wisdom and in favor with God. And man, here he is, God, and he's growing in favor with God. Right. But the fullness of the Godhead bodily hadn't come into him yet. Right. But yet this created, sinless body that was the temple that God chose to dwell in. They asked Brother Branham one time, they said, who did Jesus pray to in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, the same one that you do. He prayed to the Holy Spirit that was on the inside of him. He could sit there and pray in the Garden of Gethsemane and the fullness of the Godhead bodily being in him. And that stumbles us because of his humanity. But when you go home and you pray tonight before you go to bed, I hope you do. I hope that you don't pray to some God that's got a crown on his head some 10 million miles away up on a cloud somewhere. And that if you place him there, then when you have a time of need, oh, I hope he can get to you quickly, and I hope he can hear you and all those different things. But I don't pray to a God 12 million miles away somewhere on a cloud, but I pray to the Holy Spirit that's dwelling right down on the inside of me. Brother Bram said he's closer to us than our own right arm if we just recognize it. Many times we fail to recognize the presence of God in our midst, but he's right there with us. And here he could pray to the Holy Ghost that was on the inside of him. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Now the Holy Ghost descended on him and said, Thou art my beloved Son. But I thought God was his Father. So we have to be careful about this, see? I mean, if we're not careful, we'll go back to denominational, you know, theology and ways of looking at it, and we'll have them three separate persons laid out here. But it wasn't three separate persons. It was one person being displayed and unfolded and revealed through three different attributes of Father and Son and Holy Ghost. Amen. And here he comes, and here he comes to be baptized. And John said, I need you to baptize me. He recognized who he was, because the next day when he walked by, he told two of his disciples, he said, Behold, the Son of the living God, the King of glory. And he went and pointed, and they said, well, you know, if that's who he is, we're going to go follow him. And we would have got upset, a lot of us minister brothers, when, oh my, there's a greater move over here, and people started leaving and going. He said, I must decrease that he may increase. And the Holy Spirit comes down. Here he is being baptized. John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. But he didn't have to be baptized for repentance, because there was nothing for him to repent of. But yet the sacrifice had to be washed. And he said, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. St. John chapter 3 verse 12. Jesus said, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Amen. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. You try to figure that out with a denominational intellectual conception and you'll lose your mind. But by revelation we can recognize. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And there he was standing there in their midst, the Son of Man standing right there. But yet heaven's not a million miles away. Remember, it's just here, a dimension faster. And there was a man with the Son of Man ministry in our age that could stand right on the platform. And he could be right here in this strain of time and in a flesh body standing here. And then say, now I begin to see you get younger, and you're a little girl running in a checkered dress, and a yellow dog chases you up on a porch. What was he doing? He was standing here in one dimension and yet being transported into a different dimension to see what was taking place years earlier. How could Moses sit there and take down his quill or whatever he wrote with and begin to write and say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth? And maybe one of the people walked by and read over his shoulder and say, what are you talking about, Moses? You wasn't there. But he was there. He was just transported back by vision into a different dimension that the world didn't know anything about. And he could sit there and write down how that Esau was red and hairy. And maybe one of the Hebrew children, the Israelites walking through the wilderness there with him, walked behind him and say, now, Moses, we love you and we believe you're a prophet, but how on earth do you know that Esau had red hair and that he was a hairy man? I mean, he could have been as bald as a cue ball for all we know, but he was seeing it in a different dimension. And Jesus could stand there in one dimension and say, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And he could stand there and be in a flesh body and yet being transported in and out of that other dimension to look and say and speak things. And he said, I say nothing and do nothing until the Father shows me first. What was it? Brother Bram said he was constantly seeing visions and doing things just the way that the other prophets did, but the fullness of the Godhead bodily, where they were God in portion, just a portion of deity, just like you or I or St. Paul or anybody else that had the Holy Ghost. But yet hear the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he would look and say, somebody touched me. I'm weak. Virtue's gone from me. And he would look around and he would perceive who it was. Why? Because he was seeing it in vision. Amen. Acts chapter 22 verse 6. It came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Oh my. A revelation of who he is. Not the first person or the second person or the third person of the Trinity, but the person of the Godhead. God made flesh and dwelling amongst us. Elohim. Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. God tabernacling himself in a human body. God coming and condescending down so that he could take not on himself, as Paul said in Hebrews, he didn't take on himself the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. And here he had created man in his own image in spirit form in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1. He said, let us create man in our image, and he created him in spirit form. Then in Genesis chapter 2, he comes around and creates man in a flesh body. And then when he came to earth, he came in the form of a man. He created us in his form, in his image, and then he came to the earth in our image. Oh, what a humbling thing it should be to us to recognize what Jehovah went through, all that he did and all that he didn't have to do, but that he did it because of his love to us. so that he could be the right kind of intercessor, that he could be the right kind of Lord, that he could be the right kind of judge, to where he could judge and feel the feeling of our infirmities at the same time. Oh my, what a blessed people that we are tonight. Amen. If the musicians would come, we'll get into it, Lord willing, with the help of the Lord next week. There's not anything that's wrote about him between the age of 12 and the age of 30. But I believe something was taking place during that time, because the very first miracle that we see, we'll look at it, Lord willing, next week, when they were at the marriage in Cana of Galilee and they ran out of wine, and Mary said, "Go get him, and whatever he says to you, do it." She must have seen something going on in those teenage years to recognize there's something. You know, I don't know if one of their pets got sick and died and all of a sudden it was walking around resurrected, or if there were some times that the food got a little low in the pantry and every time they'd go there was more of it being multiplied, or what it was that she recognized that he was doing. But there was a time of need. She said, "Whatever he says, do it." She recognized there was something there, that this was more than just a teenager. This was more than just a baby in a manger. This was more than just a child, or more than just a young man walking about the desert. But it was Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. God bless you tonight. You love him?
Amen.
Amen. We could never thank him enough for all that he's done for us, but I sure thank him tonight. Where would we be without him? I can't imagine serving a God up somewhere with his arms crossed, looking down on us, saying, "Oh my, you'll never amount to anything, and you'll never be able to be as righteous as I am," when he knew that we couldn't be as righteous as he was. So he came and he clothed us with his own righteousness. He knew that we couldn't make it on our own, so he came and went through similar trials to us so that he could know what it was like, and that when we got too tired and too weary, he could pick us up and carry us.
Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful to be serving a God like that. It's not just a God of judgment and wrath, but is a God of justice and peace and understanding and love, that when we go through a trial, he's been tempted in a like manner, and he knows how to sympathize with us. He knows how to be the right kind of intercessor. He knows how to be the right kind of comforter in those times when nobody else can comfort but him. I love him tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, in a manger long ago, I know it's really so. A babe was born to save men from their sin. John saw him on the shore, the Lamb forevermore. Oh, Christ the crucified of Calvary. Oh, yes, I love that man from Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The publican went to pray in the temple there one day. He cried, "Oh Lord, be merciful to me." He was forgiven of every sin. Then a deep peace came within. He said, "Come see this man from Galilee." Let's stand and sing it tonight. Oh, yes, I love that man from Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Well, the lame was made to walk, and the dumb was made to talk. That power was spoken with love upon the sea. Well, the blind was made to see. Lord, I know it could only be the sweet mercy of that man from Galilee. Oh, yes, I love that man from Galilee. Oh, we love you tonight, Lord, for you've done so very much for me.
Galilee. Nicodemus came by night to know the way of right. He asked the Son of Man, what must he do? These words were spoke to him. Oh, you must be born again by the Spirit of that man from Galilee. Oh, let's worship him tonight. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Yes, Lord. Oh, for you've done so very much for me. Has he tonight? Oh, he's forgiven all my sins. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Then the woman at the well, he all her sins did tell. How five husbands she had at that time. She was forgiven of every sin. Then a deep peace came within. Oh, she cried, come see this man from Galilee. Oh, yes, I love. Oh, we love you, Father. For he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sin. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love. Oh, why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand tonight?
Lifted me. Oh,
lifted me.